Come on, Braun. It was Johnny, or someone just like Johnny, helping me to my feet and moving us both toward the door.
Bibi!
I gasped. No. I opened aching eyes long enough to see Bibi Serbringer draped across his console. His Stetson had fallen off and rolled to the floor. Bibi's head had exploded, spattering most of the console with gray and red. His mouth was open, and a thick white foam still issued from it. It looked like his eyes had melted. Johnny caught me, half-lifted me.
"We have to go," he whispered. "Someone will be here any minute."
I closed my eyes and let him take me away from there. I awoke to a dim red light and the sound of water dripping. I smelled sewage, mildew, and the ozone of uninsulated fiber-optic cables. I opened one eye. We were in a low space, more cave than room, with cables snaking from a shattered ceiling and pools of water on the slime-caked tiles. The red light came from somewhere beyond the cave, a maintenance access shaft, perhaps, or automech tunnel. I moaned softly. Johnny was there, moving from the rough bedroll of blankets to my side. His face was darkened with grease or dirt, and there was at least one fresh cut.
"Where are we?"
He touched my cheek. His other arm went around my shoulders and helped me to a sitting position. The awful view shifted and tilted, and for a moment I thought I was going to be sick. Johnny helped me drink water from a plastic tumbler.
"Dreg's hive," said Johnny.
I'd guessed even before I was fully conscious. Dreg's hive is the deepest pit on Lussis, a no-man's land of mech tunnels and illegal burrows occupied by half the web's outcasts and outlaws. It was in Dreg's hive that I'd been shot several years ago and still bore the laser scar above my left hip bone. I held the tumbler out for more water. Johnny fetched some from a steel therm and came back. I panicked for a second as I fumbled in my tunic pocket and on my belt. Dad's automatic was gone. Johnny held the weapon up and I relaxed, accepting the cup and drinking thirstily.
"Bibi?"
I said, hoping for a moment that it had all been a terrible hallucination. Johnny shook his head.
"There were defenses that neither of us had anticipated. Bibi's incursion was brilliant, but he couldn't outfight core Omega phages. But half the operators in Datum Plain felt echoes of the battle. Bibi is already the stuff of legend."
"Fucking great," I said, and gave a laugh that sounded suspiciously like the beginning of a sob. "The stuff of legend, and Bibi's dead, for fuck-all nothing." Johnny's arm was tight around me.
"Not for nothing, Braun. He made the grab, and passed the data to me before he died."
I managed to sit fully upright and to look at Johnny. He seemed the same soft eyes, same hair, same voice, but something was subtly different. Deeper. More human?
"You?" I said. "Did you make the transfer? Are you...
human?" John Keats smiled at me.
"Yes, Braun, or as close to human as someone forged in the core could ever be."
"But you remember, me, Bibi, what happened?"
"Yes. And I remember first looking into Chapman's Homer, and my brother Tom's eyes as he hemorrhaged in the night, and Severn's kind voice when I was too weak to open my own eyes to face my fate, and our night in Piazza di Spagna when I touched your lips and imagined Fanny's cheek against mine. I remember, Braun."
For a second I was confused, and then hurt, but then he set his palm against my cheek
and he touched me. There was no one else, and I understood. I closed my eyes. "Why are we here?" I whispered against his shirt. I couldn't risk using a forecaster. The call could trace us at once. I considered the spaceport, but you were in no condition to travel. I chose the dregs. I nodded against him.
"They'll try to kill you."
"Yes."
"Are the local cops after us? The hegemony police? Transit cops?"
"No, I don't think so. The only ones who've challenged us so far were two bands of Gundas and some of the dregs' dwellers."
I opened my eyes.
"What happened with the Gundas?"
"There were more deadly hoodlums and contract killers in the web, but I'd never run across any."
Johnny held up Dad's automatic and smiled.
"I don't remember anything after Bibi," I said.
"You were injured by the phage backlash. You could walk, but we were the cause of more than a few odd looks in the concourse."
"I bet. Tell me about what Bibi discovered. Why is the Corps obsessed with Hyperion?"
"Eat first," said Johnny. "It's been more than 28 hours.
He crossed the dripping width of the cave room and returned with a self-heating packet. It was basic hollow fanatic fare, flash-dried and reheated cloned beef, potatoes which had never seen soil, and carrots which looked like some sort of deep-sea slugs. Nothing had ever tasted so good.
"Okay," I said. "Tell me."